Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark, who will return on Monday. Scott Jagow here filling in for me.
Good morning.
And we're happy to have you with us. So whether you are listening on your drive-in, you're listening on the Odyssey app, which, by the way, if you don't have that, go ahead and download that, because then you can take us with you wherever you go. You can listen to the podcast. If there's a specific interview that you missed that you want to make sure you listen to, you can just go exactly to that. Ethan Bright actually will mark that. So it's a great app. I use it a lot to listen throughout the day to some of the other shows that we have here on 97.1. So, we're glad to have you here. Like I said, Mark will be back on Monday. I wanted to just update you all. Scott, you mentioned this in your news headlines about this abortion initiative petition and how they turned in. It was about almost double, I think, the number of signatures
that
they
needed.
More than
double, actually.
More than double. Okay. Obviously, that was not what we were hoping for. But what I will tell you is that those signatures still have to be verified by the Secretary of State's office. Assuming that they are, or, considering they turned in more than double, I would imagine that they will have at least the number that they needed to get it on the ballot in November. We are really hoping the Missouri Senate can pass IP reform. This is critical. I'm hearing it could happen this week. That's going to make it harder to amend the state constitution. In addition to having the majority vote, you also would need the majority vote in 5 of Missouri's 8 congressional districts. It's going to give a lot of these rural communities that, quite honestly, don't really have a fair voice, I guess, is the way I could describe it. They don't carry as much weight because you're going to have the people in the cities like Kansas City and St. Louis that are very liberal. They have more people there. And so I think this is an opportunity to make sure that everyone's vote counts, including in those rural areas. So we're hoping that the Senate's going to pass that. The House already did. We're going to keep an eye on that, and we are going to update you throughout the week as soon as we hear anything more. Coming up this hour, we have Real or Fake News. That's next. And we're also talking to the director of the Higher Education Reform Initiative at America First Policy Institute, talking about some of these university professors and what they really should be saying about these anti-Semitic protests on their own campus. And so many of them have been silent, which is very frustrating. And I'm hoping that more action is taken, calling on them, saying you need to speak out about this and denounce that. So again, we're speaking to him at the bottom of the hour. Right now, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The government, DOJ, et cetera, the office of DA, which is letting crime, violent crime, run rampant all over our city.
That was Donald Trump speaking after court on Friday, and then shortly after that, he went on to host some potential VP contenders at a Mar-a-Lago donor event over the weekend.
Do you feel responsible for spreading a message where I'm not going to take it because I don't care what Biden wants?
You recognize that voice? That was Chris Cuomo back when he was on CNN. He was shaming Byron Donalds on why he wasn't going to get vaccinated and force it on all these people. Well, now it comes out that Chris Cuomo was among those who were vaccine injured. And the New York Times, of all publications, is running an article about how thousands say that they too are vaccine injured and feel ignored by the government and the doctors.
That's not true. That's not
true. Call Quora.
That's not true. There's nobody's fault here.
Man, a lot of drama at the Missouri State GOP convention over the weekend. They were upset about a several hours long delay and also a lot of frustration about who was going to be called as the chairman there.
It's important to stand strong in our beliefs and to be a representation of what we hope to see for Jewish students and for students who believe in our flag and democracy across the country.
That's one of the fraternity members at the University of North Carolina speaking out after a picture of them went viral, showing them helping raise the American flag back up after protesters had tried to remove it and put the Palestinian flag up. And I tell you, it's like the frat brothers are going to be the heroes in all of this, because they're the ones I've seen over the weekend who were going out, and they're the counter protesters. They're singing the national anthem. They're going out there and they're chanting USA, USA. And they've got some traction.
Yeah, I hope so. That's where I went to school. So, and I was also in a fraternity there. So I'm proud of those boys.
So this was AE Pi, we determined, right?
The yeah, boys and who, Pi Kappa Phi.
Okay, who were in that picture that went viral. But I just love to see that. I love to see the camaraderie. I did not expect it to be the frat boys who were going to be the ones out there, but I just love to see it. Just to kind of keep you updated on what's going on with the Israel-Hamas situation, there was a ceasefire talk that had been in the works for several days, and we're now hearing that Hamas has said no, despite Antony Blinken even saying that the deal was extraordinarily generous, were his exact words, on Israel's part to offer this. And Hamas still said no deal. Now Israel is preparing to invade Rafah. They're dropping leaflets. They're using text messages, apparently calling, even trying to warn people to evacuate, to get out. They're not saying when they're going to invade. They're basically just saying, all right, we're doing this. You know, we offered this ceasefire deal. You didn't take it. What also is interesting is Chuck Schumer over the weekend announced $400 million in federal funding that's going to be available for synagogues, mosques, churches, basically, because of an increase in threats. So these churches will be able to apply for this money, and they can use it if they want to, say, hire security, add some cameras or fencing. And I'm curious if there's any local mosques, synagogues that are going to do that, because I know there were bomb threats at three of them over the weekend in New York.
Yeah, well, a few months ago, actually, right after October 7th, we had somebody on KMOX who was a local leader in the Jewish community, and he expressed concern at that time about security for the synagogues, and that they kept them locked, which a lot of churches don't do, but the synagogues do because of this very thing.
And it's sad, because I think that's part of it with a church, is that it's the open doors, right? You want to be able to do that so that people can come in. And it's just sad that so many of these synagogues are dealing with these threats, and things have only escalated really since then here in the United States with all these protests. And students they've claimed they're going to stay this summer. I think we're going to see maybe another month of it, and then I think things will start to die down.
I think somebody is paying for a lot of this. I mean, the matching signs and the tents with the logos, and they're the same across the country, and then the literature that's being handed out is very similar. And as we said earlier, I think there's been a shift of, oh, it started out with pro-Palestinian people, the people of Palestine. That's who we're supporting. But it definitely has gone a little darker into the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic territory. There's no doubt about it. And there could be some sort of source behind it that is an anti-Semitic movement.
And they should probably tell their protesters to stop being willing to go on camera, because every time they do, it seems they say things like, our Ivy League school needs to bring us humanitarian aid, or the one protesters who were, I think, from Colombia and went to New York, and they're like, we don't know why, or they were, where was it? They were, I forget which one it was, but they were at one of the campuses, and they went to a different campus to protest, and they were like, why are you here? And they're like, we don't know, we wish we were more educated. Maybe don't go on camera. If you're not educated enough, maybe don't agree to an interview, because this is what is spread on the internet.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the information is coming from TikTok to these people, and they don't know what they're talking about, and they're shills right now for this movement or organization whoever it might be.
Yeah. Or arguably you could say that they should go on camera because that then just confirms what we already believe, which is that they really have no idea why they're there. All right. We are needing to take a break right now, but when we come back, it is Real or Fake News with Carl Middleman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz. Every week at this time, around this time, I give the three people in the studio headlines and they have to tell me if it is real or fake. Last week, Drew, filling in for Ethan, won with a special strategy, which was to just echo whatever Kim said.
Glad you pointed that out.
So Drew had 4, Kim had 3, Scott had 1.
That was awful.
The reason was, Drew went first one time, and Kim didn't believe him. So Kim is still leading 8-4 versus Mark with Drew's 1. Ethan said, does this mean that I get Drew's point?
No.
No, you do not. But Ethan, we will start with you, since you are freshly back. Real or fake? If anyone watched the Jerry Seinfeld movie this weekend, Missouri's most popular Pop-Tart flavor is frosted strawberry. Is that real or fake?
I'll say it's real.
Hold on, your mic is not that. Say that again.
I'll say it's real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
I'll say fake.
It is fake.
Yeah.
Frosted strawberry is the nation's number one.
But Missouri.
But Missouri's. Oh, did you know this?
No, I was going to guess.
It's blueberry? Frosted s'mores.
Oh, s'mores.
I don't ever eat Pop-Tarts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. It's frosted brown sugar cinnamon.
Oh, that is good. Okay.
Frosted brown sugar cinnamon is Missouri's number one. I apologize for misreading this. Kim St. Ange, real or fake, a startup hoping to bring back landlines has no employees who have ever used a landline. Real or fake?
Real.
I'll say that's true.
Ethan?
I'll go fake.
It's fake.
Ah.
Made that up.
I'm 0 for 2.
Yes.
That was a good one,
yes,
though.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
It's the chair. Anytime I fill in for Mark, I do awful. What's up with that?
It's the chair.
It is the chair.
That you forgot the Blues sitting in that chair as well.
I know.
That's a Mark Cox thing as well. All right, Scott Jagow.
Yeah.
Real or fake, some ultra marathon runners say breaking your finger is the best hack for running long distances. Real or fake?
Breaking your finger.
Breaking your finger. Real or fake?
It's just crazy enough to be true. I'll say yes.
Ethan Bright.
I was going to go true, too.
Kim Sainaj.
I'll say true.
It's fake.
Oh, my gosh.
Ethan Bright. Real or fake? It costs 3 cents to make a penny.
I'm going to say fake.
Kim Sainaj.
I don't know. I guess I'm going to say real because you've had a lot of fakes.
Scott Jagow.
I say true.
It is true.
I thought it was more.
Kim got one, everybody.
Go me.
Scott Jagow, real or fake? French spies are immune to honey trap schemes because their wives already know they're having affairs. Real or fake?
I'll say that's fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go true.
Kim Sainaj doesn't really process, know what a honey trap is.
I didn't really process the question.
Yeah, it's a
so
little weird.
I'm just going to go ahead and guess and say that one is true.
It is true. A honey trap is when you lie and say someone's having an affair, but the French wives already know that their husbands are having affairs. Because they're French.
Wow.
That question.
All right.
So, Kim, you got two.
Scott, are you new to this? Because this happens all the time. We're all like, oh, that question.
Who's up?
I think me.
I think it's Kim.
Maybe Kim. We'll go.
It's Kim. Kim, real or fake? Chilean sea bass is neither from Chile, nor is it a bass. Real or fake?
Sure, real.
Yeah, they Scott changed Jago. The name of it, I think. I think that is true.
Ethan Bright.
I'll go fake.
It is true. Wow, Kim's in the lead now.
I think Ethan just tries. He feels bad also saying the same thing as us, so he goes opposite, and then you lose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Scott Jagow, real or fake, 45% of adults have zero retirement savings.
45%?
45%.
My gosh, that's scary.
Real or fake, though?
True.
Ethan Bright.
I would say true.
Kim Sainaj.
True.
It's fake.
More.
It's only 25%.
I thought it was high, but
only 25%. Ethan Bright, real or fake? A little girl said monsters were in her room. It turned out to be 60,000 bees. Real or fake?
That's probably real.
Kim Sainaj.
Real.
60,000.
60,000 bees.
That's more than was at the Arizona Diamondbacks game.
Real or fake?
All right, true.
So, Kim, you heard this story,
yes.
Didn't you? See, it is true. It is true. Ethan Bright, real or fake, an airport in Japan, since they opened in 1994, has not lost a single piece of luggage. Real or fake?
Let's go true.
Kim Sainaj.
I'll say fake.
Ooh, that's
interesting. Scott Jagow.
I guess I have to go true. Is that me? Or her?
It is true. It is in the Kansai International Airport near Osaka. Has not lost a single piece of luggage since it opened in September of 1994, making Scott Jagow our winner.
Ooh.
But you still blame the chair.
I absolutely blame. I don't think I've won one time since I have filled in for Mark, ever.
Well, I'm sitting in your chair.
That's true. Thank you. I'm so glad that you pointed that out.
There you go.
It clearly just depends on where you're sitting in the studio. As far as
lost every time.
Ethan is standing. Because
except
you're
when
lose.
Drew filled in for you.
Wow, that was a fluke. That was only because he copied
Drew
everything
cheated.
That I said. Yeah, my gosh. All right, thanks, Carl. So how do you think these college professors, these university presidents of these Ivy League schools, how should they be responding with all of these students protesting on their campus and refusing to leave? They should be, in my opinion, saying a lot more than they're saying. We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm Kim Sainaj, in for Mark.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So I'm not allowed to comment on any of that. As you know, I'm under a gag order, which is very unprecedented, but I will.
Welcome back. I'm Kim Sainange, filling in for Mark Cox. That was the scene at the University of Michigan graduation where you can hear protesters, those anti-Israel protesters, disrupting that ceremony. And some of the attendees saying, get out. A lot of these colleges, you don't hear much from the president. Why are they not saying more to let these protesters know they need to pick up their tents and get out? They are not allowed to be on these private universities, like you think about Wash U. I want to welcome in our next guest, and that is Jonathan Podluzny. He is the director of Higher Education Reform Initiative at the America First Policy Institute. Jonathan, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I appreciate the time.
I assume you saw what happened at the University of Michigan, and I think that's a lot of the concern moving forward with these universities having these graduation ceremonies. Are a lot of them going to get disrupted by these anti-Israel protesters?
Yeah, I think we can expect that. I mean, they've made it their mission to disrupt campus operations and to basically undermine the educational mission of the university. They're incredibly well organized. So I think probably what we're seeing, we're going to keep seeing. And I mean, graduation is just the perfect time to make a point, and that's what they're trying to do. They want the cameras, they want the attention.
You know, I've been disappointed in how these colleges have been handling this, because in my opinion, they've been going on far too long. These are private universities like Washington University here in St. Louis. These protesters allowed to stay. Why are a lot of these college presidents not saying more? Why are we not setting that as an expectation that they need to come forward and speak out against this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think one thing that we've learned from the successes, and you think President Sasser at the University of Florida, which is obviously a public university, you make clear that you're going to enforce your policies at the very beginning, right? That you're not going to tolerate violations of the time, place, and manner restrictions, right? That when you start disrupting university operations, there are going to be suspensions, there are going to be expulsions, and you just don't get them, right? So university administrators have to step up. You ask why they aren't. And I think the answer is that they've really been inviting this onto campus for decades, right? So university presidents get to where they are effectively by caving to the DEI left, right? And it's so hard for them to call the anti-Semitism out because it's part of DEI. It's been nurtured by the diversity, equity, and inclusion, really an ideological takeover of the university.
You have to wonder why these universities tend to attract so many people who were clearly anti-Semitic, but liberal-minded and who would support something like this and allow this to go on, because I think of this with a lot of the college professors who you've seen out there protesting and a lot of these presidents. Like I think back to the University of Pennsylvania where the Penn president ended up resigning, right, because wouldn't say anything at the congressional hearing about anti-Semitism and if that would violate the school's conduct policy to call for the genocide of Jews.
Yeah, so we've looked at this pretty carefully. And we've been working on this going back a year, long before October 7th and these protests. And we asked the question, why are universities becoming these bastions of Jew hatred, really? And it's especially the elite universities. And we've identified three things, right? You have the radical faculty that you mentioned, and the radical faculty, they kind of make it respectable for the student activists when you have faculty in the Arab studies and the gender studies departments putting on anti-Semitic events and their own research being about, eliminating Israel effectively. So the radical faculty, and what's really important to remember is that a lot of them are funded by entities from the Middle East, All right, so elite universities get billions of dollars from the Middle East in gifts, and that came to light during the Trump administration. Then you have the student activist piece. They're very, very well organized. And then I think the third piece is that you have just a general atmosphere that is teaching students to view everything in terms of oppressors and oppressed, right? That's effectively the DEI philosophy, right? And so you put those three things together and you get an environment in which it's really hard to call out Jew hatred because it's the flip side of that leftist ideology.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned DEI policies, and I think so many of them have seeped into college campuses. I was just talking to somebody on Friday who's saying kids come home and it's just dumbfounded by what they're saying that they're being taught in school. And I think that really needs to be addressed. I think a lot of this is being taught, whether it's overt or whether it's small ways they find to essentially teach this, the oppressor and it's just this mindset, I think, that these college kids come back with.
Absolutely. It's absolutely everywhere, Kim. It's in first-year orientation. There are mandatory DEI trainings. The DEI offices at some of the big public universities are hundreds of people spending tens of millions of dollars a year. We know that it's in general education. So you have at a lot of schools, you have to take a course having to do with DEI in order to graduate. And so it just suffuses every aspect of the institution. And if you go and you look at the materials of the National Association for Diversity Officers in Higher Ed, they make it really clear that they're trying to use the university to re-engineer American society, right? I mean, and so it's a deliberate takeover of these institutions that really once were among our most important institutions.
This is Scott. I have a follow-up question. When you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and these are enlightened people we're talking about, college professors, why are the Jewish people not included?
Yeah, good question, right? So one of the main things that the DEI mindset teaches is that students should judge each other and society through a very simple lens. Everything is interpreted in terms of oppressor and oppressed. And so Jews can only really be coded by the DEI philosophy as oppressors because of their economic and political success, right? And then the Palestinians, even the Hamas types, they are viewed as the oppressed because, they lack a state and live in conditions of poverty. And so even when you have Hamas killing, right, slaughtering, raping innocent Jewish civilians, they end up being the virtuous oppressed, according to the DEI framework, right? And so this is applied to everything, including, you know, race relations in the United States, and students are taught to view the world this way. And so when all of a sudden attention turns back to the Middle East, students are left primed to, again, cheer for Hamas and demonize Israelis.
Yeah, it is so sad seeing what's going on. And I really think we need to hold these college presidents accountable. We need to say, you need to speak out on this. No more hiding. No more sitting here and saying, well, we don't really know. I'm not sure. They need to come out and say, this is not okay. Jonathan Pidluzany, thank you so much, Director of the Higher Education Reform Initiative at the America First Policy Institute. I appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Thanks, Kim. Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, it's wild thinking about how this somehow is okay when it relates to Jewish students. But if you do the flip test, Mark and I talk about that a lot, it would never be okay. If you called for the genocide of Black people.
Can you imagine? I mean, I just don't understand it. Because it's supposed to be about inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the opposite of that.
It
flies in the face of everything these people have stood for when it comes to DEI. Now they're saying, well, everybody except Jews. That makes no sense.
It's just weird because I've talked about how newsrooms tend to attract a lot of liberal-minded people. And I feel like, and I'm talking about TV stations I've worked at specifically.
Okay? Sure. No, a lot of media.
Yeah. And it just seems like that with these college campuses. And he was obviously confirming that. But I guess my question is, why? What is it about that environment that is it, I guess, when they're in school and learning to become, say, a professor, that they're then taught that and they just carry it on with them? Like, at what moment do things turn? I don't know. It's just so odd to me that there are certain fields that tend to attract certain types of people, like in this case, college campuses.
I thought it was also interesting that he talked about the funding from the Middle East into U.S. colleges and universities.
Yep.
And we said earlier that we think, based on several sources, that this might be being funded by anti-Semitic movements here in the U.S., these protests. So it is interesting. That jibes with what he just said.
Yep. I mean, if you have questions about why things are the way that they are, trace the money, and that's going to give you a lot of clarity on things in any circumstance. That was an interesting conversation. We appreciate his time. Coming up after the break, I found this article that I think is going to ruffle a lot of feathers, and that is, it asks the question, is it time to ban pit bulls? We're going to talk about that coming up. Oh, Carl. Had to play the pit bull song. He's a big pit bull fan, in case you didn't know. He's currently dancing. If you're watching on Facebook or X, you will see his little dance moves. We're talking about a different kind of pit bull here, Carl. Sorry to rain on your parade. We know you're a fan of that kind of pit bull.
Foo Fighters, then.
There we go. This story is sad. So there's this video that kind of went viral of a police officer in Philadelphia having to shoot a dog because there was a pack of four dogs, three of which were pit bulls, that attacked a man in the street. This video shows the man walking across and these dogs just, he's kind of running, trying to run away from them, and they just get him down to the ground and they keep, from what I can see, it looks like they just keep attacking him. So that was when the officer shot one of the dogs. And 2 days later, it was reported that a 9-year-old girl was recovering in a hospital after she was attacked by a pit bull in Iowa. It sadly seems like you hear a lot about these stories with pit bulls. I had a friend, a good friend of mine in Nashville where I used to live. She loved pit bulls. She had, I believe, two of them, and they were so sweet. I mean, I those dogs were great. And I know plenty of people who have pit bulls, and they say they are the sweetest dogs, and a lot of it just depends on how you train them. And I think to a degree that is true, but I also feel like pit bulls, it's just their nature to be a more aggressive dog. Like, you don't really hear about a golden retriever viciously attacking a man, a pack of, you know, labs attacking a man.
But I think that they were bred for the idea of violence originally. So it's not that the breed itself is the problem. It's that people decided to breed them in such a way and then use them in that way so that they became aggressive. And then they bred again, and that trait was passed down.
Yeah.
So people are behind it.
The question is, though, then how do we stop that? Because if that's kind of the cycle and that's just more or less the dog's nature, because like you're saying that they've been bred that way, what do we do? Like, if you go to a shelter, it's really sad. You're going to see the majority of the dogs there are pit bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Because
definitely.
A lot of places like apartment complexes, they don't even allow you to have them.
I think they're banned in some states, actually, or cities.
Oh, so, really? You can't even have them in the entire city?
No, I'm saying in some places.
Oh,
I know
they have
bans,
like, really?
In place.
Okay.
In some places they have a ban. So yeah, I know it is a tough issue because you have all these pit bulls that are at the shelter, and then when you see these incidents like the one in Iowa, you know, the owner has been charged because he didn't properly vaccinate the dog. He probably didn't train it properly. Mm-hmm. And so the dog gets out and then a 9-year-old girl gets attacked.
I mean, I would not personally have a pit bull because I wouldn't want that liability. I just think there are more aggressive dogs. They're very protective. They're very loyal. But then that could mean that they're more likely, if they feel like there's a threat, they're going to be protective. Their instincts are going to kick in. I am in no way saying that all pit bulls are bad. And I know I'm going to rile people up with this because people love dogs. I love dogs, too. I know people feel strongly about this topic. I don't necessarily feel strongly one way or the other. I'm just making that comment that we do tend to see a lot of these things happening. And I don't know what the solution is, because if you're saying that this has just gone back years and years and years of the way they're bred, how do we combat that? Like, what do we do? Because I feel like people aren't going to just stop breeding them that way, right?
Right. I don't know. There's a segment of the population that wants to do this with their animals, and, you know, they shouldn't be allowed. They should be prosecuted, first of all, and this guy is actually going to be. So I guess that's one deterrent. But it's like what you say with people running red lights here in the city. The people that are running the red lights over and over again are scoff laws, or they don't have licenses or, you know, registrations. So they're the kind of people that it doesn't really deter them. Mm-hmm. And these kind of people that are doing this probably doesn't deter them either. So I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. I think a lot of it does relate to how you train the dog. Like I said, I know pit bulls who have been just the sweetest dogs. It is possible. But it, you hear more and more of these stories, and it makes you just wonder. It's just, I feel for the man in this case in Philadelphia, that poor 9-year-old girl, hoping she recovers. All right, when we come back, we're talking about the New York Times article related to vaccine injuries from the COVID shot and a surprising person who says he was vaccine injured.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.